The show's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more, and it's all choral music on the program today. Well, I should qualify that. It's an all-choral conversation about two choral events, but two of the performers who are going to be on the Chorale's Young Artist Scholarship concert are instrumentalists, and we'll talk about that with the director of the Chorale based in Champaign, Julie Byler, and in the later portion of the show, Milton Scott, who's director of Opus 24, a choral group in Decatur, will be with us to talk about their concert coming up on the 11th of May. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9, and here is a foretaste of the Chorale. This is not the Chorale. This is the Colorado Vocal Arts Ensemble, but they're doing one of my favorite Scottish folk songs. Music arranged by David Overton, the Scottish folk tune Loch Lomond. And that was from a CD called Down to the Water with the Colorado Vocal Arts Ensemble, conducted by Deborah Jenkins. Is it Teske, do you know, Julie, the last name of that conductor?
Of the conductor?
Yeah.
Teske, I believe is right.
Yeah. Julie Byler is director of the Chorale, and she brought this CD in for us to sample some, at least one of the tunes that's coming up on their concert on the 1st of May at Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign. It's a Saturday, and the concert starts at 7 o'clock. And it's their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert. She's also brought along one of the solo performers on that concert, mezzo-soprano Elizabeth Campbell Buckley. And, Liz, for a long time, I couldn't ever remember the Buckley, and then I couldn't ever remember the Campbell anymore. once you got married, it already got kind of confusing. So thanks to both of you for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, we're glad to be back.
The title of your concert, it's actually sort of difficult to say on the air, or rather it's easy to say on the air, but it only makes its impact if you see it. You're calling it A Glorious Time.
That is true.
But?
Well, it's just one of my weaker mental moments, I think, when I tried to come up with something clever, and it's glory hyphen us.
Yes. And us, in this case, is?
Us is the Chorale, Elizabeth, Barbara Headland, as it turns out, John Dee, Sal Percoco.
All these folks are on the concert?
Dr. Michael Hammer, yep, and myself.
Are you doing, the Vivaldi
Gloria
with instruments?
Hence the Glory Us. Yes, it's what you would call a creative reduction of an instrumental version. We work on a limited budget, as you know, and so we had a full orchestra in the fall with Dr. Clausen, and so we've brought in the best of the best to play along with us.
To play one and a part, basically, it sounds like.
Right, yeah. About that, yes.
And Elizabeth is going to be your soloist, mezzo-soloist for that. I've forgotten. I haven't heard that piece in so long. There are other solos in the piece, right?
Well, there are mezzo-solos. They're all women, soprano and mezzo. And so I was afraid you would bring that up. When I asked Elizabeth, who sang for us, by the way, in November.
So you're going to overdub her? Is that what you've done?
Well, I didn't think of that, but good idea.
She sings pretty high.
I said to her, would you be willing to sing the soprano Domine Deus as well? And she said yes. And then, of course, there is the Laudamus Te, which is a duet, and I thought that perhaps was asking a bit much.
That's where the overdubbing comes
you're
in.
Right. So my family and a certain of my friends have been saying, Julie, you really don't sing enough. So... time will tell whether this was a ridiculous idea or not, but Elizabeth is game enough to stand up and sing with me the Laudamus Te. So we'll see how this goes.
Well, you know, if worse comes to worse, she can just sing louder.
Or sing along. Well, it's not so bad, and I'm looking forward to it, except when you know when you wave your arms for a couple invigorating choruses beforehand, then you kind of have to gather yourself and get your breath back. So
yeah. Well, you know, you've sung on this show.
I have sung on this show.
At the instigation of your friend Jean Redpath.
Yes. Under duress, I do that.
You did a very nice job. I mean, I think you have a lovely voice. Well, and the two of you sound great together, even though, as you pointed out when we had this conversation, you don't have similar voices.
No, we don't.
But they work well.
I had no choice with her. But, you know, I have a few years on Elizabeth, so it's a little bit gutsy to do this, but in the interest of saving money and pleasing a few of my friends.
I rather suspect it'll be lovely. And so is that the first piece in the program, last piece in the program?
The Vivaldi is first, yes.
And this is your Young Artist Scholarship Concert. You've been doing these for a long time. You just showed me the list of winners, which goes back how far?
This is 19 years, but we have 31 winners because we've awarded more than one in any given year. And as you may remember, it's our New Year's Eve event at the Virginia Theater that first gave us any kind of income. So when we found out we had discretionary money, we instituted this program of the Young Artist Scholarship. And this year, we're giving away three $1,000 scholarships.
And though you're a choral group, you don't restrict winners to vocalists.
We're not prejudicial, no. We have had many instrumentalists as well.
Including all three this time.
All three. And all three are young men this time.
Is that a first?
It is, actually. All of our auditioners were men, this young.
Everyone who auditioned?
Everyone. You know, it's an interesting thing. I never know. We set a deadline. And as you know, high school seniors are very busy. And I visit my mailbox regularly the week before the concert, wondering how many or if any we're going to have. And sure enough, they all show up in about the last two or three days. But they were all fellas this year.
That's so the first is not that you've had guys before. You've certainly had guys win and compete.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's just that
all
the competitors and therefore all the winners.
Exactly.
So tell us who they are.
Well, there are three, as I mentioned. One is Chris Holman, who is a senior at St. Thomas More and is an organist, a keyboardist, and a singer, and a composer, and from what I've gathered, an all-round musician. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, after he'd done all his auditions at Oberlin and Eastman and so forth, he fell on the ice in February and broke his ankle. For an organist, this is not a good thing.
Yeah, so you'd have to use your feet.
Yeah, exactly. So he auditioned sent us a DVD that had a camera focused on his footwork on the pedal. So we were able to see and to hear in that way. And so he will not perform at this concert because we weren't really sure. His ankle was pinned and it wasn't a simple break. So although he's now free of cast and walking about, he will perform for us at our November concert, which will be the festival weekend with Dr. Jessup in town again.
Of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Formerly of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. He's been made the new dean, the founding dean of the Kane School of Fine Art at Utah State University.
Really? Yep. Well, good for him. So that's a new development?
That is brand new and will be announced actually while we are there. The chorale is going out to perform with his American Festival Chorus on a little mini tour, spending a week on campus at Logan, kind of music camp, I say, and rehearsing, doing workshops, and then traveling to Sun Valley, Utah, to do a concert at that wonderful outdoor pavilion there.
So this is a pre-announcement of this.
That is a pre-announcement, coming up June 27th, actually.
Okay. You're scooping.
Sorry.
You're scooping the folks in Utah, but they're probably not listening.
Probably not, yeah.
Although they and everybody else in the world can listen to this conversation later on our website, at will.illinois.edu. And okay, so he is, Chris is the performer who won't be heard on this concert.
That's right.
In November.
The two young men who will be heard are Aaron Schwartz, who is a senior at Urbana High School, violinist. And I will tell you another strange thing. He's the third violinist in 3 years that has won this scholarship. We went for 19, 18, 17 years without a string player of that. But Emmalinda Escobar 2 years ago, Rachel Kobolikoff, and now Aaron Schwartz. So he will play, and he's set to go to the Cleveland Institute of Music in the fall.
Yeah, they've all gone, they will have all gone on to prestigious music schools.
Right. Emmalinda is here at the university studying with Sibby Bernhardsen, and Rachel is finishing her freshman year at Juilliard.
Yeah, I just had a long talk with her dad about that. I hadn't realized that she was, I don't know, time escapes these folks that you work with, and I hadn't realized she was already done with the first year. I thought she was headed off there.
No, she's had that first year experience.
Yeah, and the third winner.
And the third winner is a very young senior, Daniel Cheng, 16, a senior at Uni High, a pianist. And he's going to play Chopin for us. He prefers romantic music, and he really plays extremely well. They're all wonderful musicians, astonishing to me.
I heard Daniel, it's been at least a few years now, the Arcadia Chamber Players did sponsor, I think they're not doing it now, they did sponsor for a few years a chamber music competition for young people, high school age and younger. And the couple that I judged, he was one of the younger performers. And to my ear, he was one of the most outstanding, even when he was really little. I just thought this small young person, just made some astoundingly musical sounds.
Well, he is.
Sounds.
He looks like he's about 12. And yes, it says here in his form that he did indeed win that competition, performed with the Arcadia Student Chamber Music Festival.
He won more than once.
Sixth grade, eighth grade, and ninth grade.
Yeah, right. I'd sort of forgotten about him. Well, I'm glad you brought along recordings of both Aaron Schwartz and Daniel Cheng, and I have Daniel queued up first. And since you said he likes romantic music, he's playing some music of Franz Liszt. Do you have the
Un Sospiro?
Daniel Cheng here on Live and Local is going to be one of the performers on the Chorale's Young Artist Scholarship Concert, A Glory Us Time, this Saturday at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. Un Sospiro, music by Franz Liszt, performed by Daniel Cheng, who is a senior at University High School in, is that in Urbana? Is that in Champaign? I forget which side of Wright Street it's on. I guess it's in Urbana. And is one of the three winners of the Chorale's Young Artist Scholarship Awards this year, 2010 winners. And we've mentioned the organist, who will be Chris. What's Chris's last name again?
Holman.
He'll be performing in November with the Chorale. The other one performing on Saturday night's concert in Champaign is violinist Aaron Schwartz, who's a senior at Urbana High School, and he'll be playing music by Mendelssohn. And this is a movement of Mozart's concertos.
Right.
I had to think, was it a concerto or sonata? It's written on the CD itself. His mom, Sarah Schwartz, is his accompanist here on Live and Local. Fine young male performer going to be featured on the concert this Saturday in Champaign by the Chorale, conducted by Julie Beiler, who is one of my two guests on the show. And by extension of this CD, we have with us guests Aaron Schwartz on the violin and his mother, Sarah Schwartz, on the piano, playing some music by Mozart. Aaron will be playing without... Well, no, is he going to be playing with... I guess he is playing with his mother.
He is. At the concert. She'll be here playing Mendelssohn.
Mendelssohn from the concerto?
The first movement of the Mendelssohn...
Mendelssohn Violin Concerto.
Yeah.
So he's playing Mendelssohn on the concert Saturday, and Daniel Chang playing Chopin, definitely without his mother, because you can do that as solo piano without needing an accompanist unless you're doing a concerto, along with Vivaldi's Gloria, for the soloist for which, one of the soloists for which, besides Julie Beiler, is Elizabeth Buckley, the mezzo-soprano, who's the featured guest soloist. And she brought along a surprise to me. We have a little bit of her performing here. And Elizabeth, I'll just let you introduce this particular cut. I mean, the duet you guys are doing in the Vivaldi is a Laudamus Te, correct?
This is another setting of the Laudamus Te, and this is a performance I did with Prairie Ensemble with Kevin Kelly conducting. And this is from Mozart's Grand Mass in C minor.
And it's heard on Live and Local. This is. I hope I like this.
I'm sure you will.
I haven't heard this in a long time. Here we go, music of Mozart on Live and Local. Well, lucky for you, Liz, I actually enjoyed that.
Good.
because we were just talking about how hypercritical we all get when we're hearing performances that we've done. That was Elizabeth Campbell Buckley singing the Laudamus Te from Mozart's great C minor mass. And that's, although it is a great mass, it's actually a reference to the size of the thing versus his smaller one. And I was pleased to conduct the Prairie Ensemble in that performance. When was that from? Do you remember? How long ago?
Oh, goodness. That was when I was 7 months pregnant with my second child. So that would have had to have been in 2007.
Yeah.
So I would assume that would be March then. Is that right? Or February?
So, somewhere in there,
yeah. Looking back.
So I guess we did pretty well.
Yeah.
Liz Buckley's going to be performing the Laudamus Te with Julie Byler and the other mezzo solos and soprano solos from Vivaldi's Gloria, which will open the concert by the chorale this Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. Julie, we were talking before going on the air about some of the great things that some of your past Young Artist winners have done. We just have a few minutes before we hear one of the songs that the chorale will be singing. But why don't you pick a few highlights?
Well, both of us mentioned Tom Siders, who had the exciting news of being awarded the assistant principal trumpet position with the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, just in this current year.
Right. And before that, he was a featured soloist in the 2009 Conservatory Project, which allowed him to play at the Kennedy Center. So both he and his brother were winners, Jim also.
And trombone?
Yes, yep. Right. Trombone and bass trombone. He came back a second year and played his bass trombone for us. It was fun. And we talked about Rachel being here, being at Juilliard.
Rachel Kolbikoff, yep.
Right, and Adelaide Muir, who was a Metropolitan Opera finalist nationally, is teaching at Liberty University on the voice faculty there and performing with opera companies and symphonies about there. Elizabeth Treat is in New York, pounding the streets and doing auditions and going to sing with a local opera company there, her signature role, Queen of the Night, Mozart. And, who else did you have in mind?
Well, Tyler Stein.
Oh, Tyler Stein is exactly. He sang with us New Year's Eve, and he's on tour now with a little Broadway deal going to children's schools and playing If You Give a Pig a Pancake, I believe. And I keep track of him on Facebook, so he's knowing what it's like to live out of a suitcase for 6 months.
What happens if you give a pig a pancake?
You know, you have to ask Tyler.
I guess you have to really see the show and
yeah,
find out.
Yeah, I think
out.
So, right.
One or two more. I don't remember who else is on that list.
See.
There's a lot of people I knew on that list.
Derek Manafort is a wonderful pianist, and he's studying at Eastern University. Eric Kobel, the flute, is here at the university. In fact, we have quite a few of them who are here at the university. You mentioned Ben King is studying here. Molly Netter is just finishing her 4 years at Oberlin, giving her senior recital, I think, maybe the same day as ours, May 1st or 2nd.
So you've got, I mean, the kids who, or at least many of the kids who've won this competition are going on to stay in music and beyond.
We have a good percentage.
Doing pretty well with them.
It's always one, that's always a concern, you know. We talk to the kids when we audition them, too, to get to know them, and hopefully they will stay in music. It's not an easy road, as Elizabeth knows, and we all know. So it's really rewarding when we hear stories like this. So we do try to keep track of the kids, too, through their graduate and undergraduate work.
Well, it's terrific that the chorale is offering this opportunity, and it's great for the kids to have the experience and have the little extra push and recognition to go on into whatever it is they do decide to go on.
We like to bring them back to perform for that very reason, because, you know, when you go off to school, you don't often get as many performance opportunities as you have in high school. So it's good for them to come back and get the home audience enthused. And
the glory of the audience.
Right.
And they will have plenty at your concert, A Glorious Time, this Saturday.
Good, Kevin.
Yeah, I did actually plan that, I'm sorry to say. The Vivaldi's Gloria is on that concert, and the Young Artist winners, and Julie Byler's the conductor. And Saturday, 7 o'clock, Faith United Methodist Church, South Prospect in Champaign. The web address is thechorale.org. It is a free concert, so you don't even need to bring your pocketbook if you don't want to. Although do bring your driver's license, please, if you're driving. And we'll go out before we meet Milton Scott, who is directing the Opus 24 Spring Choral Concert two Tuesdays from now in Decatur, with one of the songs that's going to be on your concert. This is the group you brought in, the Colorado Vocal Arts Ensemble. John Washburn's arrangement of the spiritual, There Is a Balm in Gilead.
Balm in Gilead. It's a wonderful arrangement. I'd never heard it before this. And one of the members of our group has a sister who sings in this Colorado arts group.
No kidding.
And so he brought this to me, and that's why we're doing it.
Right. It's a total community effort in the chorale.
It seems to be.
Yeah. Julie Beiler is the director. Elizabeth Buckley joining us also on the show today, live and local. Thanks very much for coming on, and best of luck with the concert.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks.
That was John Washburn's arrangement of the traditional spiritual Balm in Gilead, sung by the Colorado Vocal Arts Ensemble, conducted by Deborah Jenkins-Teske. Hoping we're saying her last name correctly. It's their disc called Down to the Water. As it turns out, we'll probably sample one or two more for there, because either I had a mix-up or our guest had a mix-up, who I was expecting for the second portion of the show. And we don't have Milton Scott for Opus 24. Maybe we're having him next Tuesday. And I got my schedule screwed up. But in any event, I will mention that the group from the Decatur Choral Society, sponsored by the Decatur Choral Society, Opus 24, that Milt Scott directs, is giving its spring concert two Tuesdays, May 11th. He probably is on next week. That's probably what's happened. 7:30 at First United Methodist Church in Decatur on West North Street. That is Tuesday, May 11th, their concert. So no doubt we'll be talking with Milt later on. Let me mention a few things. First of all, our broadcast today is made possible with support from these business partners. Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting of Champaign, Cannon Farm of Camargo, Carpet Weavers of Champaign, and Dick's Pharmacy of Arthur. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank all of you for your support. As it happens, our program is made possible by the Chorale, presenting the Young Artist Scholarship Concert, A Glorious Time, which we've just been talking about, on Saturday, May 1st at 7 p.m. at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. And let me just take a few minutes, since I have the time, and I have run out of time at other shows lately, to talk about some of the other performances in our listening area. Interesting concert tonight by Sinfonia da Camera in Urbana. They're calling it Sinfonia at Rush Hour, with Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue and Beethoven's Fifth Symphony in the Follinger Great Hall at the Krannert Center. That's tonight at 5:30, hence the rush hour designation, a fairly short concert. University of Illinois Jazz Combos are performing at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. And U of I Jazz Band 2 is tomorrow night at 7:30. That's also at the Krannert Center. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana continues its performances of the two-person musical play Always Patsy Cline. That's tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 o'clock. I think they have a Thursday performance. Yep. And on Thursday, some of the other performances, the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Combos are at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston, Thursday, 7:30. Jazz pianist John Chip Stevens is giving a short free concert called Holding On to What Counts on the music series at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic on University Avenue in Urbana. That's Thursday at noon. The Muhammad Seymour High School Drama Department is presenting How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all at 7:30, and there's a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock at the high school in Muhammad. And Albert Herring is the opera by Benjamin Britten that the University of Illinois Opera Program is presenting starting Thursday, with performances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana, and they have a matinee on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And the stage director, Stephen Fiol, will be my guest on Thursday's Live and Local. On tomorrow's show, if I am remembering right, we'll have a conversation about a liturgical festival in Springfield. And in fact, we're recording that this afternoon. The ladies are here from Springfield, and we'll air that tomorrow for you. And I'm actually forgetting the other thing on the program tomorrow, and hopefully I have it scheduled properly. We don't have any more mix-ups on the show. So thanks for agreeing to stick around, Julie and Elizabeth. We wanted to talk just briefly about the funding behind the Young Scholarship series, because otherwise, you know, a scholarship requires money.
Indeed, and it does.
You talked about how, you know, it's a pretty lean budget for the Corral, and yet you find money for this particular project.
Well, as I said, the first chance that we had to give away some money was because of our performance at New Year's Eve at the Virginia Theater. But then when we did that, not too long after that, I got a call from a very generous woman in Urbana who had seen the article in the newspaper about this concert and said, I think this is a wonderful thing you're doing. And she said, what I want to do is give you $1,000 for the next 5 years to secure that scholarship fund. Well,
for each of the next 5 years.
Yes. Just let me tell you, no one calls me on the phone to say, here's $5,000 for the next 5 years. So I said to her, well, what I'll do then is I'll go out and see if I can find four more so that we can have five people who will, or businesses, or five entities who will do the same thing, support this at $1,000 a year. So we did that, and we have some very loyal individuals, maybe three or four, who do this on a repeated basis year after year, and businesses who come in and out of that process with their $1,000 donations maybe every other year or so. So we have, I would say, five or six folks and or businesses who do that for us. But then people who come to these free concerts, as you mentioned, it is part of our mission to provide as much quality music for as many people as possible. So we decided to do that on a free basis. We do ask that if you can consider a gift to the scholarship fund and leave it at the concert or send it in afterward. So we get some results from that, too, people who appreciate what they hear. It's really hard not to appreciate when you hear the talent that plays or sings on the stage at these concerts to not want to support them. As we all know, it's not an easy road to hoe to go on and stay in music, be in music, compete in music. We have some interesting statements. If you have a second, I'm going to share with you. Everyone who applies for these scholarships writes a personal statement, which gives us a little clue into their personality and what motivates them and what keeps them going. And this is, I hope Aaron will forgive me, a little bit of his personal statement from this past application. Aaron, as you mentioned, is playing at this concert.
Aaron Schwartz,
violin. He starts his personal statement by saying, at the age of four, I never thought the phrase squash the bug would be the start of something truly wonderful for the rest of my life. At the time, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, and it only became relevant after years of study and maturity. What in the world could all of this ridiculous talk of killing an insect have to do with my future? It may sound weird, but this was what my teacher would say to get me to stand correctly when I played the violin. So it had to do with planting your foot, and at four, you can imagine the appeal it would have to a young boy to say, squash that bug. So these are the kinds of things that that we learn about these kids as they come in, and it's just wonderful little stories like that that tell us where they've come from and what has motivated them and inspired them.
I was trying to think who his teacher might have been, because
Mr. Wassum, he says. His name was Mr. Wassum, and although he had a very quirky and interesting way of teaching, says Aaron, I learned a great deal about playing the violin and building up my initial technique.
Well, good. I was thinking of a friend of mine, Robin Kirtan, who has some pretty...
I bet she does.
Pretty colorful ways. I mean, there's something... She's explained some of these to me. Something has to do with chocolate and how you finger, and I don't... I'm going to have to ask her to recount this, those one of these times she's on the show.
Well, voice teachers can give you a whole bunch of, you teach individuals differently, and things mean different things to people. So you find ways to say things that are meaningful, and we have all kinds of interesting little phrases like that.
Well, especially with vocal, where with any other instrument, you can see the technique. You can see the fingers on the violin. You can see what your lips are doing on a trumpet, even. Well, you can see what your mouth is doing when you're singing, but everything else is inside. And
it really is. And when you talk about placement, and Elizabeth can attest to that, I'm sure you've had a variety of phrases used to tell you about your open throat and where to place the sound and the mask and all of these things that are kind of ambiguous to especially to a beginning voice student.
Well, the mask was more conceptual than anything. I mean,
it's very
some
conceptual
truth to it, but
yeah.
You have to, it's really very visual. You know, Liz, I wanted to ask you, since we're talking about awards and competitions and so on, you've won a few of those, and I know that you were in music, and then you kind of got out of it, and then you came back, and you finished the doctorate.
I did. I finished my doctorate last fall with the great support of my family. And what I did is I spent a couple years in healthcare. I worked at Carle for a while, caring for patients on the medical floor. Taught me a lot about life and gave me some very valuable lessons. One of the last patients I cared for actually had cancer of the larynx. And I was speaking with a doctor, a very personal story, and this patient overheard, and he no longer could speak. And he wrote on a piece of paper after hearing me speak to this physician about the fact that I used to be a singer, and I was still the director of music at a local church. And he wrote on a piece of paper, he said, if you sing, you must continue. And I thought, wow, if that's not a message from God or from... If you believe in the Holy Spirit, I thought that was such a message to me. And so what's very personal and interesting is a couple weeks later, you yourself gave me a call and invited me to come sing with the Perry Ensemble, and we sang Noyes Flood. And it was
Benjamin Britten.
It had been a couple years since I had sung in a performance. And then after that, I got another call from Chet Alwis to sing with Bach. And then Frances Crawford called me and said, if you know her, she's a retired voice faculty member, and her wonderful Southern accent, why, Elizabeth, I can't believe you never finished your doctorate. So with her great encouragement and also Heidi von Gunden's encouragement, she was a faculty member in composition, they helped me go back and finish the degree, and Charlotte Maddox and Professor Hill helped me write the dissertation. And anyone who's ever done a doctorate or a PhD in any field knows how challenging that is. So finishing that doctorate was very much not just my doing, but many people around me who supported me.
But those competitions also, you know, are great fuel for your ego to a certain extent, but also for your confidence and ultimately for some people to actually propel you into a career depending upon what you've won.
In affirmation also that you really are doing the right thing with your life. And fortunately, recently I was the semifinalist in the Oratorio Society of New York in their competition and went to New York and competed. And Kent Tridal has invited me back to New York to do a master class with him. And I'm going to be singing for some directors of A and B opera houses and hopefully securing management. And we'll see where it goes. So working as a professional woman who also has children, there are challenges. And Fortunately, I have family, friends, good, wonderful musicians here in town that support me, and no one does this on their own.
And as long as people keep asking you to sing,
you're
in business.
Your story about using the gift is really, I must say, what's propelled me to do this, to sing myself. And it was Jean Redpath, my friend, who said, "You have this gift and you're not singing. I don't understand." And so it makes you think,
yeah,
even at my age. And it's what we hope for these students. We hope that they, when they're finished with their education and they go into a community, into the real world, as I say, that they will provide opportunities like we do for just an ordinary citizen to participate, maybe form an orchestra, as you have done, or form a chorale, as we have done, and just invite people to let music become more accessible and more user-friendly, I guess. So it's all about using the gift and how you use it that I think is really important.
Since we now have the time, although the time is, again, passed quickly, the rest of it, we might as well hear the other young artist who won't be on this concert by the chorale because, you know, he did the little ankle thing.
Yes.
But he'll be performing with you on in November, and maybe we can hear something else from him then. But do you know what is the piece we have from
you
him?
You know, I'm sorry to say I don't know. This is a little two-minute piece that I don't have the title for. Chris will be playing in November, and we'll be at McKinley. So he's excited, I must say, to play on that organ. He wasn't terribly disappointed that he would have to wait to play on that organ.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, small but just gorgeous organ that at McKinley Presbyterian in Champaign, which I just heard a little bit on Saturday for the Central Illinois Children's Chorus concert.
I believe this could be the Buxtehude that he's playing. It's a short 2-minute.
Organists will no doubt know it. It's Chris Holman, one of the three Young Artist Scholarship winners with the chorale for 2010, and two of them will be performing on their concert this Saturday evening. Chris Holman, one of the young artist winners for the chorale in Champaign. And you'll hear him on their concert in November. We'll hear more about that, I am sure, on Live and Local as that time comes up. Julie Byler, director of the Chorale, my guest on this hour, as it turns out, of Live and Local with guest soloist, mezzo-soprano Elizabeth Campbell Buckley. Their concert once more is Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. They're calling it A Glorious Time with Vivaldi's Gloria on the program and the Young Artist winners. Their web address, again, is thechorale.org. Support for our program today comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods in the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. And the Corkscrew particularly supports the Writer's Almanac from Garrison Keillor, which is coming up in just a minute. And the forecast calls for a partly to mostly sunny sky this afternoon with a high of 61. Clear sky tonight. Patchy frost expected to form, the low 36. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 68. Thursday's outlook is for a partly sunny, windy, and warmer day with a high of 77. We're currently at 57 degrees, a little after 1 o'clock. And you're listening to Live and Local on WYLL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana, the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. And my thanks to Julie and Elizabeth for sticking around a little extra time on the show today.
It was fun. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.